Republican battled Congressman Matt Gaetz.
Matt Gaetz was one of the very few members in the entire Congress who bothered to stand up against permanent Washington on behalf of his constituents.
Matt Gaetz right now, he's a problem for the Democratic Party, and he can cause a lot of hiccups in passing of laws. So we're going to keep running those stories to keep hurting him.
If you stand for the flag and kneel in prayer, if you want to build America up and not burn her to the ground, then welcome, my fellow patriots. You are in the right place. This is the movement for you.
You ever watch this guy on television? It's like a machine, Matt Gaetz.
I'm a canceled man in some corners of the internet. Many days I'm a marked man in Congress, a wanted man by the deep state.
They aren't really coming for me. They're coming for you. I'm just in the way.
Welcome back to Firebrand. We're live broadcasting out of our Capitol Hill office here on the Hill in Washington, D.C. Make sure you're subscribed with notifications turned on. We have a terrific show today regarding the work Democrats are doing in the Congress to promote the overeducated elites at the expense of the hardworking American people. The overeducated elites want to take your guns. The overeducated elites on both the right and the left want to pollute your politics with corruption. I've got a great swamp alert regarding exactly how influence is bought and sold on Capitol Hill. A lot of corruption there, generally, each and every day. And we just have one example of it with a former Republican committee chairman. You will not want to miss that a little bit later. We got the live streams up and running, and the Instagram comment section is en fuego. Alexis asks, is this a Fortnite restream? No, it is not. Rob says, keep up the fight. Frosty says, America first. AJ says, close the borders. On Facebook, CJ says that we need to ban all mass killing assault weapons and magazines. That's certainly a perspective that I disagree with. Here's why. Every day in the United States, a good guy with a gun saves lives. Heroes always seem to appear when we need them most, and they tend to be ordinary Americans exercising constitutional rights. Now, this weekend, we had another example of this in Greenwood, Indiana. An armed maniac went into a shopping mall looking to kill. And sadly, three innocent lives were lost. That never should have happened. But if it were not for one brave 22-year-old named Elijah Dickin, it would have been far, far worse. Elijah shot 10 rounds at the assailant, landing 8 from a distance of around 40 feet. That's pretty good. And from the time the shooter entered the mall to the time his ticket and life was ultimately punched, only 15 seconds had passed. As we all know, when lives are on the line, every second matters, and the police are minutes away. Over the summer, Democrats have brought many insane gun control bills to the floor. Some ban semi-automatic rifles, some ban handguns, some ban magazines over 10 to 15 rounds. Some bring red flag laws into our jurisprudence. All make it nearly impossible to exercise constitutional rights without infringement. In fact, the Democrats have introduced H.R. 1808, the Assault Weapons Ban of 2022. Now, remember, these are the same Democrats that said, oh, we're not coming for your guns. We're just doing shooter alerts, or we're just doing red flag laws. That's hogwash. The assault weapons ban of 2022 would have banned the very weapon used by Elijah to save those lives in Indiana. This bill would turn heroes into more victims. The Democrats and Joe Biden want to go on a gun grab so that you won't have what you need when you need it. If they had their way, that mall in Indiana would have been a massacre like Uvalde. By the time the police got there, many more, possibly dozens, would have been killed. And even then, if the cops in Greenwood are anything like the cops in Uvalde, they might not have been much help when they finally did arrive, though there were terrific Border Patrol who ultimately took action in that tragic and deadly leadership vacuum. Now, any Republican or Democrat who votes for this unconstitutional assault weapons ban is betraying his or her oath to uphold the Constitution. You know, you don't take an oath to the special interests. You don't take an oath to the March for Our Lives people. You take an oath to the Constitution. And if you violate that, there are ways the voters can hold you accountable in our great system. So just today, we were in the House Judiciary Committee and we were debating these issues. And Democrats act like we all ought to be so terrified and afraid of guns. We ought to stigmatize gun ownership, stigmatize gun owners. And my colleague from the great state of Ohio, Jim Jordan, pointed out searing examples of a good guy with a gun being the difference between life and death. Take a listen.
Both semi-automatic assault weapons and large-capacity ammunition feeding devices have been used for self-defense purposes. This legislation will not make our community safer. It will, in fact, make them more dangerous. In 2019, there were 386 self-defense killings that were determined to be, quote, justifiable homicides by investigators and prosecutors. In 2013, a study ordered by the CDC and carried out by the National Academies Institute of Medicine and National Research Council found that annual defensive uses of a firearm range numbered up to 3 million. This number has likely gone up since then as more states have passed laws allowing law-abiding citizens to carry a concealed firearm. And most importantly, the very types of firearms we are discussing here today have been used in numerous self-defense situations just this year. On July 7th, 2022, a Florida homeowner fired his AK-47-style rifle when individuals forcibly entered his home. After the homeowner opened fire, the individuals immediately fled. When asked if the homeowner would face charges, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons said, "Absolutely not. The homeowner's protecting himself, and in Florida and in Escambia County, you can protect yourself." On April 8th, 2022, a man in Melbourne, Florida, sitting at his truck, in his truck outside a friend's house, was confronted by an angry acquaintance who opened fire on him. The man grabbed his own handgun and shot back. When the handgun jammed, the man retrieved his AR-15 from his backseat and started shooting back. The man maintained defensive fire until the assailant ran away. Police were able to arrest and charge the assailant. No one was injured.
We're back live, and you see how these elites in Washington, D.C., who don't know anything about guns, who don't understand how life really exists in a lot of flyover country in America, they are just so eager to ban any type of gun that they can possibly list. Getting some great feedback, we've got on Facebook, Darlene says, "We love you and MTG," and on Instagram, Snakebite says, "Get rid of the rhinos," and it is oftentimes a very unfortunate political fact that too many Republicans are willing to join with Democrats in these gun control endeavors, red flag laws, assault weapons bans, and we should make sure that doesn't happen. The Republican Party has to stand for freedom and liberty, and those freedoms and those liberties are preserved as a result of the rights that are vested in us, not by government, but by God. That's the reason I support the Second Amendment, and it's also the reason why these overeducated elites want to deprive the American people of those liberties, because they want to be in control. They want to be in control. And that's something that we must resist. Now, there are some political warnings coming to the left as a result of this embrace of overeducated elitism. And there was this delicious display of it this past Sunday on Fareed Zakaria's program. We all know Fareed is a mouthpiece for the liberal globalist left. And he issues a warning to them that as Joe Biden is contemplating this elimination of student debt by executive order, that you really are moving the Democratic Party further away from the working man and the working woman. You know, it used to be the case that the Republicans might win the country clubs, but the Democrats might do a little better, you know, out with blue-collar workers, people who join unions, people who don't want to see wealth and power concentrated in the elites. But that has changed. President Trump led this amazing political realignment where Republicans finally were pushed to stand for the working man and the working woman on immigration, on trade, on issues that affect us every day, like gas prices, inflation, the strength of the American economy, rising wages, more capital investment here in our country and not overseas. Joe Biden and these Democrats, they've ruined it all, and they risk giving up the game with policy solutions that don't focus on those folks who, you know, wear their name on their shirt when they go to work, but instead are focusing on the overeducated elites. Take a listen to Fareed's warning.
The president seems inclined to cancel $10,000 worth of debt per borrower excluding individuals who make more than $150,000 a year. Some Democrats like Chuck Schumer and Elizabeth Warren want him to cancel $50,000 for all borrowers, which Biden opposes. The most extreme proposal, championed, of course, by Bernie Sanders, is to eliminate all student debt in the country, which amounts to $1.7 trillion. Biden's anticipated student debt plan, which is the least generous one on the table, appears to be the most popular one among the public. Yet, populists on his left flank are calling it grossly inadequate and demanding more. Broad debt forgiveness polls badly. Do Democrats want to embrace the caricature of being the party of overeducated elites who want special favors?
We're back live broadcasting out of the Longworth House office building and got a lot of folks watching on Rumble. Sean says, Jim ain't lying. A lot of folks agreeing with the argument that we just brought you from my colleague, Congressman Jim Jordan. Now, Fareed Zakaria there makes the argument explicitly that Democrats are leaning into their greatest political vulnerability, overeducated elites. Now, it wasn't all that long ago I said something somewhat similar in regard to the abortion debate and how these pro-abortion endeavors would not go well for the Democratic Party. I tweeted, how many of the women rallying against overturning Roe are overeducated, underloved millennials who sadly return from protests to a lonely microwave dinner with their cats and no Bumble matches? And oh my gosh, when I said the very same thing Fareed Zakaria said, the left went crazy. Take a listen.
In response to the nationwide protests this morning, Gates tweeted, how many of the women rallying against overturning Roe are overeducated, underloved millennials who sadly return from protest to a lonely microwave dinner with their cats and no Bumble matches? Now, folks, if that statement sounds insane, remember, for Matt Gaetz, overeducated is any woman who's already graduated high school.
It is very telling that you think overeducated is a burn. So what grade are you in? Oh, I'm a sophomore in college. Sophomore? Sorry, you're a little overeducated for me. Once you read Fahrenheit 451, you're basically a grandma to old Gaetzy.
These overeducated women. I mean, look at that, guys. That's what Republicans think. They think you don't want your women too educated. You want them dumb so that they believe you when you take away their rights and you make them serve you. Women, this is who you want to vote for? You want to vote for someone who says, I mean, I wouldn't want you to be smart and overeducated and then have your own agency and your own power and be able to control your own lives. I would want you destitute and dependent upon me so I could tell you and command you to do whatever I want. Disgusting. And you ought to have your head examined if you're a woman voting for Republicans.
I wasn't wrong or offensive. I just said these things before Fareed ultimately came to the very same conclusion. And you know what? The people all across America who engage in policy activism, they see the difference too. It's quite something. We've got a lot of comments still coming in. Trump is still my president, says Mike. Mike also adds, it's ultra dark MAGA time. And you know what? We've got a lot of folks, I think, that want to see our government actually work for the working people in our country. Now, Charlie Kirk wrote a recent book called The College Scam. And what I would suggest is it's actually a really good look into how these elitist structures are built in our country. How you get these professors and you get the, you know, deputy provost of intersectional feminism at a lot of these higher ed institutions. And you don't build skills, you don't build capabilities, you build a whole lot of debt in your life. And oftentimes you would have been better spent spending those 4 years out in the workforce learning stuff. We've had a lot of folks come and work on my congressional staff that either didn't go to college or didn't finish college, and they tend to be some of the most ambitious and brightest people that I get a chance to work with. So I agree that one of the market inefficiencies in our world today is this expectation that everyone has to go to college. That is absolutely not the case. I know it to be a fact. I've witnessed it. And that college system is the higher education industrial complex that ultimately generates the workforce for the globalist left that is such a threat to our country. So I fight against the higher education industrial complex, and I do it in a way that's a little different than many Republicans. So President Biden right now is offering this potential $10,000 waiver of student debt with the stroke of a presidential pen. Problem with that. One, it will definitely increase inflation. Second, it creates moral hazard, right? Like if you know you can just go accrue debt and ultimately the government is going to wipe it away, that is going to encourage more accrual of debt. And third, it doesn't actually get to the real problem of education affordability, and that's the cost of higher education as a result of these ivory towers to liberalism on college campuses. So I think that instead of wiping away debt with a presidential executive order, we ought to allow people who are victims of predatory systems to declare bankruptcy. And if people are able to discharge their student loan debt through bankruptcy rather than through action by the federal government, then I think you can literally bring down the entire higher ed system. I made that very argument in the House Judiciary Committee. Take a listen. The underlying piece of legislation that would allow students to discharge student loan debt through bankruptcy would shatter the foundation of higher education finance. It would create a dramatic and sudden shift in the pricing of higher education. It would disrupt almost every university budget in America. And that's exactly why I'm voting for it. Just think about it. If you could discharge student loan debt from predatory brokers or lenders or colleges that sold people a bill of goods, then the federal system of subsidizing these bad loans would crash, the university system of facilitating these bad loans would crash, and the value of an education would actually have to match the dollars that Americans were paying for that education should they choose to do so. So that is the key reform, and it's a critical distinction with what Joe Biden's doing. But again, he's totally captive to people who went to like Colgate and Tufts and the like. Now, as Democrats are going through this change, where they're losing working class voters, when they're becoming a party of the elites, there are demographers that are actually trying to tell them this, and sometimes it doesn't go particularly well. So on Inside Politics, one of the hosts is Abby Phillips, and the interview you're about to hear is between her and one of these demographers that she's brought on to do political prognosis. And it's, you know, the very person who kind of laid out the data that caused Democrats to adopt this, you know, demographics as destiny theory. The problem now is those demographics that matter most aren't necessarily racial. Their income level, their education level, and the largest portions of the electorate are moving further and further away from the Democratic Party, and they're doing so really at a speed we've never seen before, and as a direct result of the policies that this Congress continues to push under Nancy Pelosi's failed leadership. So when this demographer tries to tell Abby Phillips this, you are just going to love how she tries to cut him off and then come back from the cut with the most ridiculous partisan, just left-wing utilization of opposition research. Take a listen, and we'll talk about the clip after.
You know, when we say the Democrats are too focused on certain things, when you say that, is that real or is it a lot? I mean, you see the same things that I do, conservatives elevating small issues and making that the Democratic Party brand. Maybe the Democrats are allowing that to happen, is the point that you're making.
Well, I don't think so. I would dissent from that. I mean, this is what I characterize as the Fox News fallacy, which is basically the only reason why issues like crime and immigration, you know, things around race and gender ideology, what's happening in the schools, et cetera. The only reason these are issues is because Fox News is talking about them. There's a lot of propaganda and disinformation. And what I think that leaves out is these are real problems to real voters.
Sure.
Voters are concerned about crime. Voters are concerned about the situation at the border. Democrats have tried to wave that away. Now they're doing it a little bit less now, but they tried to wave it away. And, you know, this is not just created by conservatives. It's created by the real world, about the concerns of voters, and conservatives are able to take advantage of that because the Democrats are essentially not defending themselves.
A fascinating conversation, Roy Teixeira. Thanks for joining us here. And coming up next for us, why a Jersey Shore star found herself in the middle of Pennsylvania's Senate race. Does Mehmet Oz even live in Pennsylvania? Democrat John Fetterman wants that to be the question on voters' minds as the state's pivotal Senate race approaches. So he's enlisted New Jersey's most famous reality TV star to help drive home the point.
I heard that you moved from New Jersey to Pennsylvania to look for a new job. And personally, I don't know why anyone would want to leave Jersey because it's like the best place ever and we're all hot messes. But I want to say best of luck to you. I know you're away from home and you're in a new place, but Jersey will not forget you.
Who doesn't love Snooki?
I mean, isn't that just a total meme of what CNN has become? Just an outlet for opposition research against Republicans. And as Abby Phillip is being told about the cratering of the Democratic Party, oh, she's got to get away from that so that we can get to Snooki. Unreal. Unreal and unbelievable. Another thing that we constantly stand against is the swampification of Washington, D.C. This city is corrupt, and oftentimes people use their access and their leverage and their influence to put special interests and foreign interests above American interests. Now, I think that people in Congress should not be able to go be lobbyists. The reason I think that is because you've made a choice to be a representative of the people. You're one of the few Americans who has the opportunity to come to this place and advocate on behalf of the needs of those who sent you here. And then to be able to turn around from that and go lobby for money to just be a paid influence peddler, it's ultimately debasing. And we saw it on full display recently in the House Judiciary Committee. Now, Bob Goodlatte is the former Republican chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. He was someone Jim Jordan and I disagreed with very frequently because Goodlatte was always an apologist for Mueller and Comey. He was always the last one to agree with us that we shouldn't be championing and cheerleading Robert Mueller. We should have been scrutinizing him the entire time. We should have been showing what a total sham this was, that there was no requisite context for an investigation into the president for being an agent of the Russian government. So Goodlatte finishes his unremarkable term as chairman of the Judiciary Committee, retires, and then, lo and behold, shows up as a lobbyist. Now, if that alone isn't swampy and creepy enough, you get to see what he's fighting for. He is a paid lobbyist for the Walt Disney Corporation. Now, why would the Walt Disney Corporation go hire the former Republican head of the Judiciary Committee? Aren't they woke? Don't they only want to work with Democrats? We see what matters to the Walt Disney Corporation the most, their copyright. This exquisite, unusual, and perfectly tailored to them legislative structure that allows them to protect their copyright assets way beyond the scope of what other companies would be able to do with similar content. So they get a carve-out. They're a special interest, and their interest has been met. And they're worried that if Republicans take control of the Congress, we might not be so willing. So they hire former chairman Bob Goodlatte to try to make them look less evil with Republicans. Of course, I have not met with him. Then Bob Goodlatte signs a different client, a client that pays him to show up and testify against data collection of the American people through these data brokers that buy and sell the data coming off of your cell phone. Sometimes they buy and sell to one another. Sometimes they buy and sell to people who want to provide you goods. Sometimes they buy and sell to America's enemies, Iran, the Chinese Communist Party, Russia. And so I thought it was pretty insane that Chairman Goodlatte was in the committee to testify about the horrors of this data collection while at the same time representing the Walt Disney Corporation that engages in that very practice. Take a listen. I believe that we can have bipartisan agreement on legislation out of this committee that might be our hallmark achievement of this Congress. But I want to echo the point Mr. Issa made. It is not just the government that engages in these really terrifying data marketplaces. It's the Chinese Communist Party, Russia, big corporations. Chairman Goodlatte, does the Walt Disney Corporation engage in this terrifying data marketplace?
I don't know the answer to that.
But sure, they're lobbyists, right?
I do work for them, but I don't know the answer to your question.
So wait a second, you used to chair this committee. You come here and you tell us about all the harm in this data enterprise, but you don't know that, I mean, you're the Republican that the Disney Corporation hired because they have problems with Republicans, and you didn't ever talk to them about this?
I came here today to testify regarding the importance of this legislation, which, as you noted, is bipartisan. And it
so the LA Times says Disney is running the happiest surveillance operation on earth. Had you seen that article from the LA Times?
I have not seen it.
I think it might have been when you were chairman that it came out. And Disney's actually been sued. And they've been sued because Disney installs software on applications used by children. And then they not only buy data from data brokers, Disney then turns around and sells the data that they collect off of children. Are you familiar with that litigation?
I am not.
And there's a Forbes article that came out while you were chairman of this committee, and it talks about the robots that Disney sends around its park to collect data on the people at the park to utilize. Quote, Disney is even dabbling in making robotic versions of Mickey and Minnie and all of its characters that would move around with the guests and interact with them. So as you sit here and talk to us about the harm of this data enterprise, are you concerned that the people who pay you also engage in that very same work?
I think that it would be appropriate for the Congress to look at data collection practices beyond the scope of what this committee is looking at here today. But I also think it's very important to understand that what government can do with that data is very different than what individual enterprises can do. And so that's why I'm here to talk about the Fourth Amendment.
But sometimes, right, I saw in your testimony you say, well, only the government can tax you and only the government can regulate you. But what I'm worried about is that private entities can try to program you. They could try to get you to think a certain way, and they can use this data in a very harmful way. And like particularly with the Walt Disney Corporation that is in business with the Chinese Communist Party, that thanks the Chinese Communist Party for all of the accommodations they got in the filming of Mulan. Like, you know, does it concern you that the Walt Disney Corporation is selling the information of children?
I don't know that that's the fact.
Are you being purposefully ignorant to the fact that Walt Disney engages in the very activities that you're here testifying against?
Well, I do not know the facts that you've stated, so I can't comment.
Well, right, but are you purposely not learning them so that you can simultaneously take money from Disney to try to make them look less evil to Republicans and then advocate on behalf of other organizations before the Congress that critique the very work that Disney's doing?
I'm here to advocate on behalf of people who are concerned about abuses of the Fourth Amendment.
Chairman Goodlatte, do you remember a conversation you and I had when you led this committee at the Capitol Hill Club where you said the best way to be successful in the Judiciary Committee is to find interest groups that are opposed to one another and to tell both of them that you'll support their position so they'll both make donations to your
campaign? I definitely do not.
You're under oath,
conversation.
Chairman.
I do not.
No. Well, I hope that's not the case in lobbying as well, that you go and, you know, that as a legislator, you try to find interest groups to play off of one another. Then as a lobbyist, you go and take money from the Walt Disney Corporation that is quite literally buying and selling data in precisely the way that you find objectionable today. I think it's a reason why a lot of people are concerned about folks who go from being in Congress to being members of the lobby corps and then using the relationships and that they've developed in order to sell influence. And that selling influence can be just as damaging sometimes as the buying and selling of data. And the Walt Disney Corporation that, you know, that goes against so many of the values of their own patrons certainly isn't worthy of that. And, you know, since there's no federal, like, legislation on this issue, it doesn't seem like it's preempted. So maybe if we had a really smart governor like Governor DeSantis in Florida, they could actually have state-based laws that would attack these issues. Wouldn't that be quite a thing? Mr. Chairman, I now seek unanimous consent to enter a few articles in the record.
We listen.
I have Disney takes over Hulu, a company with serious data collection issues, from Combardo.com. I have from the LA Times, Disneyland is tracking guests and generating big profits doing it. I have from WDinfo.com, Disney facing lawsuit over collecting and selling children's personal information. And I have Disney uses big data, IT, and machine learning to boost the customer experience, and that is from Forbes.
Queen says Matt looks like Elvis's evil brother. I'll take it.
And DuckDuckBam says, if we banned members of Congress from owning stock, we would decrease corruption. I totally agree with that. I'm totally on board with that, even working with some folks on the far left to try to make that happen. But you know what else we should ban? Members of Congress from becoming lobbyists, and you saw the reason why. Thanks so much for watching. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure you're subscribed with those notifications on. Roll the credits.